Hey, welcome to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend, and welcome to the best time of the year for a gambler when you can make NBA and NHL playoff parlays for the next 6 weeks. There's nothing better, so long as you don't count the entire NFL season and the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. We have a very fun show for you today. Coming up, we've got four-time Super Bowl winner, All-Pro, All-Party, Rob Gronkowski joining us fresh off his first spike at Fenway Park. There he is. Let's take a look at this pitch. A true legend. The ball and the catcher never had a chance. After Gronk, the D3 will be joining me. We're going to help you get ready for the NBA playoffs and the NFL draft. There are bets to be made other than $30 million to win a dime on Caleb Williams to be drafted first. But first, let's recap the biggest sports stories of the week in the segment that recently got named as an Olympic alternate on Team USA. It's Cover 4. All right, the Masters concluded last weekend. As you know, the event is filled with traditions unlike any other. Lifetime invitations for previous winners, the caddies wearing white boiler suits, pimento cheese sandwiches, me not making money betting the top Spaniard prop. Yep, it happened again. I wagered on Jon Rahm. He tied with 58-year-old Jose Maria Olazabal. How do you say go yourself in Spanish? Anyway, there's no more awkward Masters tradition than the previous winner putting a green jacket on the new champion. This year, we had the aforementioned co-top Spaniard Jon Rahm placing the prized garment on Scottie Scheffler. Check him out. I've seen people look more comfortable sitting on trial for manslaughter. It's bad enough they've got to pay for the champion's dinner. Now, the previous champ has to wait around to put the jacket on their more successful opponent. Here, let me help you put this jacket on, like I'm a salesperson at Men's Warehouse, fitting you for a bar mitzvah suit. You're gonna like the way you look, I guarantee it. I remember Tiger Woods having to drape the green jacket on Mike Weir. The whole thing just looked Mike weird. And this all goes down while Augusta chairman Fred Ridley is sitting right there. How come he can't do it? How lazy is this guy? Did his hair up beautiful for nothing? So strange. You obviously don't see this anywhere else. The Stanley Cup loser doesn't skate out and give it to the new winner. You never saw Belichick handing the Lombardi Trophy to Andy Reid. The previous Best Actor winner doesn't walk out and hand the new winner his Oscar, although that would have been pretty great if Will Smith walked out and just smashed Brendan Fraser with the Academy Award. Eat that, whale! Why are we treating this like a presidential peaceful transition of power? Wouldn't it be better if Jon Rahm backed out, refused to acknowledge the results, insisted there were scoring irregularities, and then accused Scheffler of stealing the championship en route to becoming the first Masters denier? Look, they need to involve me. I'm a noted prankster. I'm ready to master the moment and create a new tradition unlike any other. I could help the previous champ have some fun with this. I'd take the jacket and stuff a stink bomb, a bunch of parking tickets, and a tiny illegally poached reptile in the side pockets. Players would think twice about winning the Masters. Your move, Fred Ridley. Don't make me move my practical joking talents to the LIV Tour.
Cover 2!
Alright, UFC 300 lived up to all the hype last week, and a great event, a real eye-opener, and at the same time, an eye-closer. A lot of people on the East Coast complained that they didn't get to enjoy the last couple fights because the card ended at, you ready? 1:39 a.m. Eastern Time. Yep, many heads in the Eastern Time Zone hit the pillow right around the time Justin Gaethje's head hit the canvas. It's getting to a point where fans now have to have better endurance than the fighters to stay alert for these matches. I know mixed martial arts diehards who, leading up to the card, watch sporting events in Spain as a form of training for UFC viewing. That's actually a lie. I really don't know anyone who did that. But this event costs $79.99. Come on, Dana White. Stop with this vampire crap. If you're gonna hold these matches in the middle of the night, can you at least cut the East Coasters a deal? Knock 12 bucks off the bill? Or how about you ship all the pay-per-view buyers a case of 5-Hour Energy Drink? Or maybe just give the $300,000 Fight of the Night bonus to anyone who could stay awake. Seriously though, it's not like the Octagon experienced a rain delay which pushed the card an hour. You've done 300 of these. You know pretty much exactly how long they're gonna last. So do the East Coast contingent a solid and start these cards 40 minutes earlier. And while you're at it, get the hell off my lawn!
Cover 3.
All right, on to hoops talk. Did you happen to see the statue the Philadelphia 76ers unveiled for Allen Iverson last week? No, really, did you see it? It's so tiny, I couldn't blame you for missing it. Here it is, and we could tell it was going to be underwhelming when they used a dinner napkin for the unveiling. It looked like a magician's trick gone wrong. Hey, David Blaine, what did you do with the actual statue? I'm not even sure we can call this a statue. It looks like the replica giveaway that the first 10,000 fans would get at a Sixers game. It looks like an Allen Iverson paperweight they sell in the team store alongside Joel Embiid pencil sharpeners. Seriously, I've eaten Philly cheesesteaks bigger than this. And it's not just fans, even the pigeons are complaining. How the hell are they supposed to crap on this? And yes, I know this appears on the Legends Walk, but still, Philadelphia is a city that's obsessed with statues. They built one for a fictional sports hero. They know Allen Iverson is taller than Sly Stallone, right? This is a city that erected a statue for a coach and a quarterback that Fly Eagles flew right out of town just a few seasons later. Allen Iverson carried the Sixers to the NBA Finals. He's known for stepping over Ty Lue. Ty Lue shouldn't be able to step over Allen's statue. What a mess Philadelphia is. First the crack in the Liberty Bell and now this. Maybe they don't want rowdy Philly fans climbing all over it, or maybe they're making it easier in case they need to tear this thing down in a few months when we find out AI committed a sacrilegious act like bootlegging a Taylor Swift concert or something. I don't know what the deal is, other than that this is quite possibly the most embarrassing moment in Philadelphia sports history since Tommy Lasorda beat up the Philly Fanatic. Silver lining, at least the Iverson statue is wearing pants.
Cover four!
Alright, there was a lot at stake on the final day of the NBA regular season, but none more so than in the Clippers-Rockets game. Now, that matchup didn't have any playoff implications, but rather something much more important. Free chicken sandwiches. The Clippers have a promotion where if an opposing player misses two consecutive free throws in the fourth quarter, everyone in attendance receives a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. So with less than 5 minutes to go and the Rockets up 105-97, former Clipper Boban Marjanovic was at the free throw line with the opportunity to become a chicken cutlet cult hero. Boban missed the first shot and then realizing the crowd was worked into a food frenzy, clanked the next one on purpose, and just like that, the Clippers fans celebrated harder than when Donald Sterling was removed as owner. Now, all credit to Boban for performing this benevolent act, but let's be honest, there's a decent chance he was going to miss this anyway, given his 64% free throw shooting percentage. Also, how ironic that he was shooting a foul shot. Hey, I'm not the one who called foul on this, F-O-W-L.
We get it.
All right, good, I'm done. All I'm saying is, this is what meaningless end of the regular season game should be like, filled with all sorts of in-game promotions, good, clean fun, everyone wins, no one suffers from this, well, except for the slaughtered chickens, of course. You can expect a big PETA protest outside Boban's parents' house in Serbia all throughout the playoffs. All right, that does it for Cover 4. Now it's time for my irrationally angry attempt to make rational sense of a somewhat irrational bet. It's Wager Rager. All right, two more play-in games tonight, and then we're all set for the NBA playoffs. Yes, Adam Silver worked tirelessly with the producers from The Bachelorette and miraculously was able to get the postseason pool down to 16 teams before the end of April. Good job by everyone involved. And I don't mind the play-in tournament as much as some other fans, but one thing I'll like about the regular season and play-in being complete is we can finally stop talking about good teams tanking for better playoff positioning. You saw it last Sunday when the Cleveland Cavaliers had a chance to win the Central Division and gain a 2 seed in the East, but chose to sit their starters and lose Game 82 to the pitiful Hornets and their superstar, JT Thor. I'm not even sure why the hell they did this. Some NBA holes will defend Cleveland for tanking the 2 seed. They don't care if they play the Celtics in the second round. They're not afraid of Boston. But they're afraid of the Hornets? I don't get it. Then with the play-in, there was talk about the Lakers tanking the 7-8 matchup versus the Pelicans because they might want to avoid the Nuggets in the first round. Luckily, this wasn't the case. LA won in advance. But what would the point be to tank for an extra game? 93-year-old LeBron needs to play a lose-or-go-home game against the 9-10 seed winner just to avoid Jokic, who, guess what? They're going to have to play eventually anyway? I can't stand it. There's way too much nonsensical matchup talk. Just try to win and play who you're supposed to play. What is all this avoiding nonsense? It's getting to a point where teams need a strength of schedule conditioning coach. Enough with the unnecessary sidestepping. Two-thirds of the conference is in the playoffs. You have to play someone good and then someone better and so forth and so on. These teams are so precious. You're professional athletes. Stop acting like Kendall Jenner trying to elude an ex-boyfriend at Coachella. That's my rager. Here's my wager. Not going on much of a limb here. For the NBA Finals, I'm betting Denver, even though they hurt my feelings and my wallet by blowing a 23-point lead to the Spurs and a number one seed, to play the Celtics in the finals. And God help us, I'm taking Boston to win. Yes, this bet is an emotional hedge for all the mass hole hysteria we're going to have to endure in June. You get that very specific result at plus 520 on FanDuel. We'll cash this and then watch the Patriots go 4-13. It's what's called a wicked win-win. Coming up, the D3 joins us to give their best bets for the opening round of the NBA playoffs. We'll see how many of us are backing the Bucks against the Pacers. And when we get back, Rob Gronkowski is here. We let him become general manager and give his first round picks on everything from action heroes to WWE finishing moves. That's next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Let's bring this guy on already. What are we waiting for? He is one of the best to ever do it. He terrorized NFL defenses throughout his entire career and terrorized NFL footballs by spiking them into oblivion. Five-time Pro Bowler, four-time Super Bowl champ, Rob Gronkowski. Gronk, thanks for joining us.
Cousin Sal, thanks for having me, buddy.
I have to tell you, long before you were Gronk spiking all across the NFL, at Jimmy Kimmel Live, I used to take people's lamps on their desks at work and just smash them on the ground. Now, I would buy them a new one. I wasn't that much of an a-hole, but I know you're retired. Do you still find yourself randomly spiking stuff?
Wherever I go, people want me to spike whatever I can spike. I mean, if I'm on stage at an event, you know, doing a little talk in front of some people, everyone always just starts chanting, "Hey, spike the mic, spike the mic." Wherever I go, if I go to a park, there's kids playing football outside, the parents want me to spike the football for them, along with the kids as well. So the spike tradition will last, I feel like, my lifetime. There's no doubt about that. And every shoot I have too, if I'm shooting, like, you know, I shot for Built Basics yesterday, a clothing line, and then I'm spiking footballs for the shoot as well, for the commercial video we're doing. So I feel like that'll just stick with me forever. And I love it too. I love spiking things.
That's great that you love it, because I know some people are like, you know, like a Michael Buffer won't do Let's Get Ready to Rumble unless you pay him $100,000. But this is part of your being. And by the way, I was thinking about it. Forget the dumb Super Bowl kick. I feel bad for you when they bring you out there. That's not your thing. You should spike stuff as long as you want to and let FanDuel put odds on that, whether you could break a watermelon or a VCR or like an air fryer. Isn't that a better idea?
That is a great idea. I've actually spiked a watermelon before, and it's real impressive how it just breaks wide open and just flies everywhere. So I love spiking watermelons. The only problem with it is I love watermelon, and I don't like wasting those watermelons.
Oh, I see.
That is a good idea. I did miss the kick of destiny number two once again. I went wide right this year. The first year I went wide left. So I'm hoping I get another redemption. We will see in the future. But if we do kick of destiny three, I'm going to go right down the middle this time.
Right down the middle. Yeah.
Right down the middle. And if I don't, I'm going to spike the goalpost then.
Okay. That's a good compromise, I think. Hey, before we discuss the NFL draft, let's talk some overall NFL headlines. On a scale of 1 to 87, how surprised are you that Bill Belichick does not have a head coaching job right now?
Oh, a scale of 1 to 87. I'm going to go with about a 50 right there on a scale of 1 to 87.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I was with Julian. He said this in an interview when we were at the Super Bowl. He's like, do these teams not want to win? That's a great way to put it. And yeah, he's a tough coach and all that, but do they not want to win? Coach Belichick has one of the best strategic game plans week in and week out. I would actually probably say the best strategic game plans week in and week out. No doubt about that. He's there to coach the game of football. He's not there to do NIL deals. He's not there to kiss and take pictures with baby. He's there to win football games. So it's very surprising that he does not have a head coaching job. There's no doubt about that. And I can see him possibly, you know, maybe wanting to take a year off as well. So the interviews were like, maybe, hey, I'm only going to take the job if I really feel like I want that job. If not, I can take a year off and then come back. There's going to be more openings like there is every single year. I mean, there's five coaches fired after the season every year. So there's going to be an opening somewhere. So, but it is a little surprising.
Yeah, he could probably wait till like week seven and jump in the first available offer there, although it might not be the best. Have you spoken to him at all? I mean, I feel like a podcast with the two of you would be dynamite until it's figured out.
It would possibly be cool if he came on the Fox pregame show as well with myself. You know, Julian's on the pregame show as well. So it would just be really cool just to, you know, have him a part of it, maybe just for 1 week. But a podcast with him and I mean, a tale of two ends, that's for sure.
I want to talk about this draft that's going on. Now, you went 42nd overall in 2010. I looked at a bunch of mock drafts. I feel like that was about where they expected you. Am I wrong in saying that? Or were you right in the middle of that?
Yeah, that was the first mock draft that you probably saw was correct. I was actually expected to go in the second round. And I got the papers back when I filed them to leave early that I would be about a second rounder. So it was right on the money. I was actually disappointed I wasn't a first rounder, but I didn't care one single bit anymore. Once I got drafted, I mean, my dream came true. I just totally forgot that I didn't even go in the first round. All I cared about was just getting to the NFL, and I did. And it was the best feeling of my life, draft day. And I will remember that day for the rest of my life.
I can't even imagine what the partying that went on after the announcement was like. I'm going to guess over 3.5 keg stands that night for you.
Well, not that night, actually, but here we go. Here's a little story I never told before. So I had a draft party. I'm back in Buffalo at a banquet. And this guy's like, oh, I've seen everything. You know, you can party here. You can do what you guys want to do. I go, no, we're going to freaking party, man. He's like, oh, I've seen it all. So then what happens? The night comes. We absolutely party. And this guy that owns the banquet is absolutely losing his mind because we are going ham to the whole next level. Like you said, 3.5 keg stands plus or minus. It was way over 3.5 keg stands at this draft party. But it was a great time. It was everyone from Buffalo. Just imagine everyone from Buffalo, 21 years old, all my friends around the same age, all, you know, they're all Bills Mafia type of people. Yeah. So everyone was going ham like that.
Yeah, I went to the school. You probably don't even know the school, upstate New York in Oswego. And it's so cold. That's all there is to do is drink. And then, but I can't even imagine something like this big announcement that you get drafted. Was there a team that you said you just wanted the prize was to get to the NFL, but secretly, was there a team you absolutely didn't want to go to?
Oh, a team I absolutely didn't want to go to. I thought you were going to ask me a team I wanted to go to. I wanted to go to the Arizona Cardinals, though, because they had the 26th pick, and I was at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Right. So I was like, how cool would that be just to go right down the road to Phoenix? And I love the state of Arizona. But back then, I didn't really care. I just wanted to get to the NFL.
Yeah, well, that's a good attitude. By the way, you took over for my cousin Jimmy Kimmel hosting the L.A. Bowl. How did you like it? I heard the cleanup crew had a little more to deal with than previous years.
The cleanup crew does a great job at the at the LA Bowl because it's at SoFi Stadium. So it's the premium of the crop, you know, to have that stadium there. And it's the best stadium, I think, maybe in the world. But the LA Bowl, man, it was spectacular, man. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel did a great job the previous 2 years with it. And then I took it over this year. And it was a lot of fun. I got 2 more years of hosting it, which I'm looking forward to every year.
That's great. Have you considered a mascot? Now, Jimmy had a mascot. It was called the Jimmy Camel, and it would like vomit on the sidelines. And this didn't, the SoFi people didn't appreciate this so much, but I feel like you could have a mascot.
He should have made the Jimmy Camel toe if he wanted to sell tickets to the game. It would have been a sold out SoFi Stadium, no doubt about that. If he would still be hosting it, and they would have never brought my name up if he had Jimmy Camel toe. But no, I don't have a mascot.
Before we let you go, in honor of the NFL draft this week, I'm going to let you be the general manager and make the first pick of some other drafts. All right. I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me who you are selecting with the first overall. All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
You are on the clock, and the topic is action movie heroes.
Oh, man. I'm gonna go with Spider-Man. I just watched Spider-Man 2 and 3 on the TV the other day, and I just love them, man. It's like my fifth time watching them.
I love it. All right, how about WWE finishing moves? First pick.
I'm gonna go with the Stone Cold Stunner. I love how he bam bangs the two beers together after he wins as well. But the Stone Cold Stunner was always a staple in the house, and I still try to do that to my friends to this day. And actually, if we go and review the film. Remember, I was on ESPN like 12 years ago when I was in Vegas. I had my broken arm with the cast on. I kicked my brother in the nuts and Stone Cold Stunner him on stage at the LMFAO concert at Encore Beach Club. That's how much I love the Stone Cold Stunner.
That's great. Concert venues.
Oh, I'm going to go with Amalie Arena in Tampa Bay. I think it's one of the most underrated arenas. I love their box suites. They're kind of like in the 100 level still, the box suites there, and you just get a great view of everything. It's just such a great arena to watch any sporting event or a concert.
Really? Have you seen what concert have you seen there specifically? You remember?
It was a Lenny Kravitz private show, actually. It was nice. Really cool. Yes, it was that's really good. Nice.
All right, we're coming to the end here. Places to day drink.
Oh, places to day drink. I mean, Vegas, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a great place to day drink. And Miami's another great place. You know, a lot of good action, beaches, pools. Right. And I would probably say there's a lot of spots in Europe that I've never been to, but I just keep hearing about them. But the number one answer, on a boat. Day drinking on a boat, always the best.
Yeah, you don't get sick, huh?
No, I don't go out too far. Whenever I go out deep sea fish, I actually don't do it anymore. I've done it 3 times. I gotten sick all 3 times. I'll never go again. It's just pointless.
Gotcha. All right. And finally, best bet you ever made. What's the first pick?
Best bet I've ever made. Just betting on myself, baby. Putting the work in and betting on myself and getting to where I need to get to.
Excellent. Mel Kiper actually had that at number one. You did it. You picked it right. Good job by you.
Mel Kiper. He's the absolute legend. I would actually pick Mel Kiper.
That's my number one pick
in my pre-draft picks.
That's smart. And by the way, you could have also bet on FanDuel that this interview would be under 22 and a half minutes. So you won that too. Congratulations, Gronk. I appreciate it. You could follow him on Twitter at Rob Gronkowski. Rob, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, Sal, thanks for having me, man.
There you go. All right, we're going to be right back with more Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, the NBA playoffs are here, and these guys are working on zero load management. Let's bring them in. My very own Round Ball Rocks, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling. They're my barons of betting and my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's shaking, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Guys, before we get to the NBA and NFL draft talk, I just discussed with Rob Gronkowski. I asked him who his favorite action movie hero was of all time. Harry, I'm going to ask you, who would you say, and then I'll tell you what he said, who would you say is your favorite action movie hero?
Oh, man, maybe John McClane?
I just knew it was going to be a dumb answer. I really did. I don't know if it's worse than Gronk. Gronk said Spider-Man, but there's so many of those. You could go Clint Eastwood, Jackie Chan. I don't know how many rounds of this I'd have to play before I said John.
Die Hard? No. What?
Okay. All right. I guess so. I just these
Die
guys
Hard too.
Like,
were you supposed to give him an actor or an actual
Stallone
character?
I don't know. I don't know what he did. That's fine.
Come on, that's fine.
Yeah, that's
what are you laughing at, TPK? What's yours?
I knew who he was going to say. I thought he was going to go Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
that's all for right. Sure. I wasn't
God
expecting
bless
the John
Bruce
McClane
Willis
answer to come out.
Bald brother, Darren. We're all bald brothers, right?
Bald brothers. Absolutely. Got to support.
All right, Ippie-Kaye, let's do this. All right, so we're into the playoffs here, and I want to go over all this. You know, I think if all the bettors can get hot in the playoffs, thankfully, we got our own playoff P right here, the Parlay Kid. Parlay Kid and I, we're on the same page. We're going to go over some of these matchups are already set. Let's start with the one that least interests me, the Cavs and the Magic. The Cavaliers are almost a 2-1 favorite, minus 198. Magic on the take back is plus 166.
I hate this Cavs team. I don't know if you heard the monologue or whatever you want to call that, but I think they're disgusting what they did to the league, tanking that last game, losing to the pitiful Hornets in dramatic fashion. I hate them. I feel like karma has to catch up with them, and it is going to catch up with them because I'm picking them in 7. 4-3. You can get that on FanDuel at +420. They split the regular season 2 games a piece now. I don't think LeVert, Garland, or Mobley played a lot of those games combined. I don't even think the three of them played in one altogether. This Orlando team's kind of pesky. They're the 4th youngest in the league. Their hands all over the place. They are tops in the league in deflections and steals. I like Bancaro and Wagner, but really, let's face it, this is the least sexy 7-game series maybe of all time, right? Which is why it'll probably go 7. And that's what the Parlay Kid and I have. I think the Cleveland fans forgive the team eventually right there. Rocket Mortgage Arena comes alive as they win in game 7. You got a good price there, Parlay Kid, +420.
Yeah, least sexy series most likely, but it does add a little juice to it by the Cavs basically saying, we want to play the Magic before anybody else, even if it means we don't get a second round home court advantage. Doesn't really make sense to me, but that's what it appears they did. And I think that should fire the Magic up enough that this young team that hasn't seen the playoffs in 4 years, doesn't it seem like longer that the Magic have been out of the playoffs, but it's really been since 2020. But I think that fires them up enough to make this a series. They'll be a scrappy team along the way. Cavs edge them out just because of the experience factor in game 7. We get a +420 price at it, so I like it. Cavs in 7.
That's Harry's favorite number, +420.
Love it.
His fighting weight. No, that's
by the way, Saturday, 420. Saturday NBA playoff,
right.
420,
that's
baby.
Right. Tomorrow.
Classic,
yeah,
we'll get Harry. Come
all
on.
Right, Harry, you're not impressed with this Cavs team either. You're taking the Magic. You could get series spreads here. You're taking them plus a game and a half.
Yeah, at -134, I agree with both you guys here and the way you guys are portraying how the series is going to go. Orlando continues to get better with their young talent. Maybe Donovan Mitchell propels Cleveland to win in 7. But Orlando has solid players. And after what Cleveland, you mentioned, Zach pulled and Darren on Sunday, tanking for the 4th spot, this young group led by Bancaro and Wagner, they have a chip on their shoulder, I think, here. Hey, Cleveland, be careful what you wish or tank for. Orlando +1.5 games.
All right, Bri, also good odds here. You get player props for the series in addition to the individual games. This is a nice way to not go broke, I think.
Yeah, look, I like Garland to have the most threes at +500. He'll obviously be competing with Mitchell, who rightfully is a big favorite in this one. But look, Orlando doesn't make a ton of threes, and Garland has averaged around 3 per game over the last 2 months. So he's made 4 threes in 3 of his last 4 games. I like those high odds for someone who's going to be probably top 2.
All right, Bucks, Pacers, let's do this one. Milwaukee -118, Pacers a dead even to win this series. And I can't believe the Pacers aren't favored. Everything I'm hearing is so much better they are with them. They're better than Milwaukee, even when Milwaukee has Giannis, who is going to sit out. All they're saying is the start of the series. So we don't know. I don't know. Is the start 1 game? Is it 3 games? We have no idea. It's a weird one. The Pacers won 4 out of 5 in the regular season. I really, this just comes down to how much time Giannis is missing, right? So I'm going to go Pacers to win game 1, but the Bucks to win the series. Also a nice price here at +370, because how do you lay money or have an even vig not knowing anything? Like Giannis averaged 42 points a game in this series this year. He had 64 in 1 game, wanted to keep the game ball, was a big deal. So there is animosity there. It's just a weird year for the Bucks. They do Holiday for Dame, basically. I don't know if it worked out. We'll see. I mean, they were bounced early last year. So Pacers and Halliburton got off to a great start. They trade for Siakam. They're a real team. They really believe in themselves. But I'm going to go. I think they win the first game, and then we're going to see Giannis take over that series, +370 for that result. Harry, you like the Pacers straight up. You don't care.
I do. Look, I gave out the Pacers to make the playoffs before the season started on Against All Odds, so I'm going to take them at +100. Not sure when Giannis will return. Pacers were 4-1 versus the Bucks this season. They averaged 129 points per game against them. Since the highly overrated Doc Rivers took over as head coach of the Bucks, 17-19, and Milwaukee comes limping into the playoffs, going 3-8 down the stretch, and that includes losses to Washington, Memphis, and Toronto. Trading for Siakam has been a great move by Indiana. He's averaging 21-8 He could be the difference here. Give me the Pacers at even money.
All right, Brian, you heard him crush Doc Rivers. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your pick. Harry has not had luck with the coaches this year. He was all over Andy Reid for no reason. He was all over Matt Painter for no reason, made the finals. And
there
now
were reasons.
Doc Rivers
there were reasons.
Is reverse cursed.
Well, I'm not going to say Doc is a terrible coach, but he hasn't gotten through to these players. But I'm going to take the Pacers minus 1.5 at plus 138. Look, like you said, the Pacers dominated the season, right? And the Bucks ended this season so poorly. And without Giannis, it's going to be a problem here. I think they're just too old. They don't have enough in this matchup here. So I think the Pacers can kind of run them out of the gym in the first few games. So Pacers win this series 4-2.
A lot of scoring, top scoring team. Parlay Kid, you see the same thing. Actually, you are picking 4-2. Did you pick 4-2 or did Bri take 4-2?
I took 4-2.
Yeah, Bri took one minus 1.5.
Yep.
Okay, plus 1.
Correct. I love the Pacers to win this series in 6. I think Brian hit on all the points I was going to say. Sal, you mentioned how the Pacers have dominated this series this year already against them. Their average margin of victory over the Bucks is about 12 points per game. I think the Pacers' pace of play is just a little too up-tempo for what seems to be a weary Bucks team, a team that just has not had the energy on a consistent nightly basis this year. I just don't think you could flip a switch at any time. I don't think the Bucks are going to be able to do that. I think the Pacers run this team out of the gym. Giannis not healthy. They just haven't gelled yet. Pacers win the series in 6, Sal.
Okay, plus 440 there. All right, let's go over to the west side here. Now, this is another one where I feel like no one is giving the home team credit here. They're an underdog, the Clippers are, plus 120. Mavs minus 142 it already shot up to. I'm going to take Dallas to take game one and the series. I'm going to be one of those guys. Not that I'm not giving the Clippers a chance, but I think Dallas wins early and then holds on to the series. Clippers took 2 of 3 in the regular season. This is a fun one. 6 Hall of Famers really going to dribble the ball here. 47 All-Star appearances between those guys. Clippers are home again. Game one and the series, though, go to Dallas. I think these game one series bets are the way to go for some of these. I'm taking the opposite approach of Indy, Milwaukee. The Mavs win on the road. You're getting twice the value. And the Clippers, like, kind of, they could be out of it if they just lose that game. For the last month and a half, the Mavs have been great, the best in the West. The last two games they didn't really care about because they always have to tank some games. So that was that. Jason Kidd's got a fresh lineup with Luka, Irving, Jones, P.J. Washington, and Daniel Gafford. That lineup's outscored opponents by 15.5 points per 100 possessions. They're over 8 points better per game since the trade deadline. It's a toss-up series that everybody seems to love the Mavs, and I'm going with it too, kind of. Game one and the series plus 175. Harry, you like this to go 7.
Yeah, Sal, you called it. You said it's a toss-up. That's how I feel. I think it could go 7 at plus 230. This might be the most exciting of the first-round series. So much star power in the series. Could be similar to the Wild 7-game series these two played in 2021 when the road team won the first 6 games until the Clippers prevailed in Game 7 in L.A. I don't know who wins this one, Sal. I don't know who wins the series, but it's a slugfest, and it goes 7.
All right. Harry does not know who wins this series. Just let it be known. Don't go starting rumors that he knows because he doesn't. All right, Bri, Mavs 2-1 after 3 games. I like these bets, too.
Yeah, look, I already have a lot on the Mavs to win the series, but I really like the way they played down the stretch, right? They were one of the best teams in the NBA, right, over the last month and a half. So I don't love the fact that Luka will be off for about 10 days by the time he plays again, may come in a little fat, but I do think they steal game one and then they win game 3 at home, Sal. So 2-1 at plus 125 after 3.
All right, Parley Kid, you have one of these series-long prop bets for an individual player.
I'll take a Ivica Zubac here, Sal. Most rebounds at plus 140. The 7-foot center doesn't dominate the minutes, but he dominates the boards during those minutes. That's for sure. Averages 9.2 rebounds per game, the same as Luka does. He's the favorite here to win that rebounding battle here. And he averages 10 per game against the Mavs. So I'll take the 7-footer over the guard in this series. I'm not sure if the Mavs have a guy who can bang that as much with Zubac here. So let's take Zubac plus 140 most rebounds.
Let's go on to Phoenix, Minnesota. Phoenix minus 136. This one went up too. Minnesota plus 116. Both teams improved since last season. T-Wolves are so big. Towns, Gobert, you got Naz Reid, could be sixth man of the year coming off the bench. Suns are better than last year too. They've actually increased their win total by four games. One of the better offenses in the league. Although, as predicted, Booker, Beal, and Durant didn't play together a ton. I think it was like what amounts to 15 or 16 games total. But they went 7-3 down the stretch. I like what I saw out of them. And it was a rough schedule too. So maybe, like everyone says, Durant breaks down the second round or so. I think they get by this first round. I'm taking the Suns at minus 136. Minnesota needed to get that one seed. By the way, lost to the Suns on Sunday. So they don't get the one seed. Now they're stuck in a matchup that I don't think really works for them. They were handled by Phoenix during the year. Three double-digit wins. Beal just went off like crazy in one game. Suns minus 136 to take this series. Speaking of Beal, parlay kid, most total points. Wow, this is a long shot.
It's a long shot. It's one of the few I'm going with here. Beal to have the most points at 24-1. Sally's coming off a 36-point explosion against these same T-Wolves and is averaging about 27 points per game over his last five games. He seems to finally have found his game in his son's uniform. He did shoot 51% from the field this year. It's a long shot, but it's worth the flyer. Beal most points, 24-1.
All right. Harry Booker, most total threes, plus 350.
Yeah, I like that. Look, it's time for Book to shine, I think. And on the Minnesota side, Karl-Anthony Towns has played just two games since early March. Might be rusty. Edwards shoots just 35% from three-point range. And like I said, on the Phoenix side, Booker takes the most amount of threes a game for Phoenix, even more than Grayson Allen. Had at least three threes in eight of his last playoff games last year, and he shot 47% from three against the Clippers last year, 55% from three against Denver. Book shows up in prime time, most threes at plus 350.
All right, and Edwards, Bry, most points, plus 170.
Yeah, I like that one here, because if you remember last year, Anthony Edwards was really good against the Nuggets, averaging 32 points per game. Towns just coming back, so I can't imagine he's going to be that sharp. And I do think the Suns may be rotating a high scorer every other game, right? So I thought plus 170 as a favorite is pretty good here.
All right, thanks, fellas. These guys are going to stick around. Well, we've got to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to switch over to the NFL draft. We're going to try to nail the whole first round in order, even if it takes hours. All right, we'll just do the top five. That's it. That's next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, the NFL draft takes place in Detroit next week, and on my mock draft of handicappers, these are my top three picks. The D3, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren the Pauly Kid, they happen to be here right now. Although, Harry, I do have to tell you, I have an offer for you, actually. Barstools, Frank the Tank, and a deep dish pizza to be named later. I still haven't decided if I'm taking it. Can I do it?
Well, we'll work out details later.
Okay. Look, right. He's a man of few words. We're going to work out details. All right. Look, just like the NFL teams are looking for value in the draft, so are the sports bettors. FanDuel offers so many great options to wager on the draft. So let's get into it. Now, one of the great options is not Caleb Williams to be drafted first. He's been a prohibitive favorite to go number one since Matt Leinart was quarterback at USC. I don't know. So it's minus $10,000, $100 to win a dollar. You could take a chance on him not going number one. Maybe he tears his ACL in the kitchen making French toast. I have no idea. But the better way to do this, go number two or number three. I'm going Drake May second at plus 210. He is not the favorite. He was the favorite a month ago to go second. Now it's Jaden Daniels. And I know at this point the Commanders have likely made up their mind, but none of us are in that draft room, so I might as well take the plus money and go with the guy with the better resume. He really does have the better resume. First of all, he's younger. He doesn't turn 22 until late August. Daniels is 24. May's got the arm strength, the accuracy, and the ability to avoid pressure. LSU protected Jaden Daniels, but when they didn't, it was a different story. Daniels threw to, you know, likely two first-round wide receivers this year. We're going to see. May's perfect size for quarterback. Jaden Daniels is a good size too, but had to gain weight to get there. There's some skepticism as to whether or not he can carry that weight and maintain it. I'm going to go May 2nd, plus 210. But Harry, you're doing it a different way. This could be just as good. And again, you snake me on the better odds.
Yeah, look, number three, I'm going to take Jaden Daniels at plus 250 to go to the Patriots. Like, Washington, who picks second, you just mentioned, tends to make bad decisions. They took UNC quarterback Sam Howell a couple years back, and now maybe they take another UNC quarterback in Drake May at number two. So that gives New England a chance to take another SEC quarterback in Daniels. They took Mac Jones, and that didn't work out. But Daniels is more talented than Jones, stronger arm, and something that New England hasn't had quarterback-wise is someone who can take off running the ball. They need some of that once in a while in their offense because little light in the wide receiver department. Give me Jaden Daniels, Sal, at number three to New England, at plus 250.
All right, now, Bri, this would be this should be a bigger upset than even plus 380. I mean, but if you were talking a month and a half ago, J.J. McCarthy going third. Wow.
Yeah, McCarthy at going third at plus 380. You were asking us for some value here. And I thought I just get a weird feeling, right? That are we going to necessarily go chalk 1, 2, and 3 at quarterback? And look, I've always liked McCarthy, but I do think some people have much higher opinions on him than most of us do. But there's definitely a scenario, right, where the Pats are like, we want another Michigan guy here in McCarthy. Very possible. Or it's possible a team wants to trade up and they end up taping McCarthy there. So, you know, if May does, like you said, if May does go two off the board here, I could certainly see, you know, Pats, you know, not thinking Daniels would be available and then all of a sudden jump to McCarthy here. So I thought at plus 380, pretty good value here, although Parlay Kids might be the best value.
I mean, this is just a bombshell if it happens, Parlay Kid. Let us have it.
Well, I'm not sure how much of a bombshell it actually is if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the third pick in the draft at 22-1. Isn't he the most sure thing out of all the names we've just mentioned? Fully endorsed by former quarterback CJ Stroud, who's telling teams, don't be stupid. Pick this kid. It's a surefire thing. Could the Pats take him at three? Maybe. Most likely going to be heading to the Cards at four. But if somebody really wants him, they could jump the Cards, take him at three, and you hit it 22-1. Let's take it.
Oh, I'm going to have so many draft bets. This is bad. I'm already thinking about it. Now, listen, another thing you could do, top five. You could pick the five in order. You pick top three in order, as Bri said, might be harder than most people are thinking. The favorite is Williams, Daniels, May, Harrison, Neighbors at plus 650. I have Drake May second, so I'm switching. This is going to be too hard to figure out. But I'm going Caleb, Drake, Jaden, Marvin fourth, JJ fifth, 14-1. Usually when we see a trade, it's around that fifth spot. I think the Giants trade up and get JJ McCarthy. Boy, live betting this one would be fun. Harry, what do you have?
Well, at 22-1, I got Williams going first, May 2nd, Daniels 3rd. Obviously, all three need quarterbacks. 4th, I think Arizona definitely takes Harrison. Hollywood Brown is gone. Rondell Moore is gone now. The most productive wide receiver on the Cardinals roster right now is Michael Wilson. Who? Yeah, that's right. Michael Wilson. He had 38 catches last year. So Harrison is no-brainer at 4 to Arizona. And at 5, I've got the Chargers taking Neighbors. Harbaugh knows he needs weapons for Herbert after Williams and Allen have left L.A. So give me Neighbors from LSU at number 5 at 22-1.
They went high with a receiver last year, TCU guy. All right, so that's 22-1. Bry,
and he's got stone hands.
I'm not. I can't even figure it anymore. Go ahead. What do you have?
Well, I'm looking for a long shot here. So 46-1. Caleb Williams. Then I'm going to go Daniels, McCarthy third. Like I was saying just before, Harrison fills in a four. Like Harry was just saying, that makes the most sense. And then I'm going to go with Alt to the Chargers. They really need to shore up their offensive line as well. They go receiver or lineman, but I'm going to say they stick with the lineman here.
46-1. Nice. Parlay Kid, you have the same as Bri, except different. You have 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, 4, and 5, but you have May 3rd, right?
Right, and that's why you got to really love Brian's, because his value is so much better than mine at plus 600. I'm going chalk.
Don't get so down on yourself.
I'm not so down. Well, I'm going to hit with Harrison at 3, and this is a loser anyway. But, yeah, I'm going chalk with the first four. Throw Alton going 5 at plus 600. Like Bryce said, Alt going 5 to the Chargers makes a lot of sense. Williams, Daniels, May, Harrison, the first four before him, plus 600. I think this is likely to happen. Jump on it.
All right. And then they have player draft position. Let's do the best value here. I really think the best value, and we talked about this on Against All Odds, is in the wide receiver position, where you could get one drafted second or third, or get some of the sixth or seventh best wide receivers to go in the first round. Think about it over the years. We talked about this. Bryce Chase was a given. Smith Njigba last year. Drake London, they were definitely all supposed to go first, but then it's a mishmash of who it depends who everybody likes, you know. Wasn't viewed the same way from every team for every wide receiver. 21 wide receivers in the last 4 years. I'm going Roman Dunze. Everyone, the guy won all the awards, physically great size, great route runner, great yard after catch potential, and to go second wide receiver is plus 300. I'll tell you what, Parlay Kid, I even might sprinkle a little on first wide receiver at 30-1, because there's some buzz at Arizona loves him too, or they trade a pick and the Chargers grab one, a Dunze or Harrison. So this all assumes Neighbors is passed on, which is very possible. A Dunze, second wide receiver drafted, 3-1. Harry, Bo Nix. My son Archie's not gonna like this one.
Oh, I'm got him going over the 35th pick in the draft at plus 102. I know he's extremely talented, but I don't see him going late in the first round. Then at 33, Carolina's got Bryce Young, obviously got a journeyman backup in Dalton. At 34, New England gets their quarterback, in the first round. And then at 35, the Cards are sold on Kyler Murray still. And traded for got Desmond Ridder for a backup too there. So I don't see Bo Nix going till after the 35th pick.
Okay, he's plus 115 to be a first round pick. So I guess that sort of makes sense to be right in there. All right, Bry, you're going a local kid here in LA. You're going against him betting the over.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Leatu Latu over 17.5 at plus 124. I kind of did. I was hoping you had to pronounce it, Sal, because I thought you would totally botch that. But look, there's not a lot of edge rushers in the top of this draft. I mean, I do think Latu could be a steal for someone. Most projections are mid to late first round. I've seen a lot with him later in the first round. You know, he's just probably not quick enough, not fast enough to be, I feel like, a top 15 pick here. So I'm going to go with him, say he's picked somewhere in the 20s here at plus 124.
All right. Parlay Kid, possibly the most intriguing draft pick, first round draft pick right here, just basically because of his look. You like Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean under 22.5 at plus 104. Mock draft database has him going around 20. Our pal Peter Schrager, who is one of the best in the biz, has him going at 22. That would be a little too close for comfort for me, but a winner. Rumors circulating that the Colts might be interested at 15. Sal, he can play corner, safety, play slot receivers, return punts. He is a Swiss Army knife. He is going under 22.5, and you get a plus number for it.
Mm-hmm. He could play all those things, and because of his complexion, he could also play John McClane in Die Hard 6 if it ever happens. All right, guys, we did it. Thanks so much. You know what? You're all first rounders in my book. We're going to close things out on Cousin Sal's winning weekend right after this. Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Hey, we're all out of time. My thanks to Rob Gronkowski for being here and not spiking his laptop during the interview. That was important. And to the D3 Harry, Brother Bry, Darren the Parlay Kid, just for being you. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. Please always remember, you may feel like an underdog, but just know you're all my favorites. Happy handicapping!